You're listening to KPPP LP 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead. Tonight's show is A Mexican Crossing Lines, July 6, 2018, KKK Karen.
Thank you for being here, everybody. Thanks for catching us right now in the day, in the light of day.
Oh, yeah, in the light of day.
Can you give me a counter?
Yes, ma'am. We are on.
I wanted to come and give you a full, detailed account of what occurred today in court, as promised. So if you're just tuning in, this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And Lizzie Cicados.
And you're listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. You can also check out all of our other podcast shows available at kpppfm.com. Now, today's show is all about the outcome of the case with Karen, which we featured on our show as part of a shame, shun, and shut down Nazis and racists and other bigots campaign, where we want to hold those people that are being Nazis or being racists in our communities accountable, being homophobes, transphobes. We want to call these people that want to bully the weak, and we want to call them out, and we want to identify them for what they're doing and saying, okay? Because these folks are typically cowards that like to use their privilege to oppress people, to silence people. And that's what Karen wanted to do to our station, wanted to do to me. So she went and filed a harassment restraining order. If you don't know what all the details of this entail, you can go back and watch our shows on Shame, Shun, Shut Down. Also, Cold as Ice. Actually, Cold as Ice predates all of this, because we were talking about Nazis and holding them accountable and calling them out a long, long time ago. In fact, one of the pieces of evidence that Karen included in her original request, which was denied for a restraining order, was a letter that I wrote several years ago. I want to say like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, and I brought all of this to you on my last show about this, where I kind of gave you a background of what led up to the point where Karen felt that she could use the resources of our city.
Yeah.
And I guess the court system as well to try to censor our station, to try to stop us from shaming her, from holding her accountable. And Lizzie's here with me because she actually went to court, as did our intern,
mm-hmm. Manami.
Yes. So they were both there to kind of see what the process was and
watch it all live. In person, mm-hmm. You could feel the tension cutting the room. It was an interesting experience. It was my first time in a courtroom watching the proceedings of the law. It was a gas, really. I had a lot of fun watching all that go down.
Well, it was it was almost going to be a no-show. I mean, when we were sitting in the courtroom waiting for the proceedings to start, the case was scheduled at 9:20. And 9:20 came and went, and they called us, and we went and sat up front, and there was no Karen. And my attorney turned to me and said, "You think she's going to be a no-show?" And I was like,
"I hope so.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, it looked like it.
It might have been because she had to pick up her kids or something."
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that that whole posse came together. When we finally did start. She had an additional packet of papers, which I never actually got a copy of, so I can't really tell you what they were. But my lawyer was like, well, you know, this is denied, so it doesn't matter. File whatever you want. She's like, I want to file this into the record. Yeah.
Plus, when we were in there, the judge said, Mr. Kirchner, have you filed a filing fee? And he said, no, Your Honor, we have not. And she said, I have. I filed a filing fee. And then the judge said, well, you have to file a filing fee. And here's my lesson learned for the day. Never go to a courthouse. Never go to a proceeding without cash, checkbook, IDs. I had IDs, but I didn't have cash, checkbook. I had to run all the way home, grab my checkbook, run all the way back to the courthouse. By that time, the proceeding was over, so I missed it all. You know. But I paid the $295 filing fee. And, you know, so it's just absurd. This woman had been denied, has been denied by two judges at this point.
Right.
In this case.
And so all of that money we spent was just so that we would have the opportunity to refute her nonsense. But, you know, the judge wasn't even having it. Like, he was just like, okay, so now I'm going to read you what she said, okay? I have to find it here. But it's her harassment restraining order that she filed. Again, this was heard in court by a judge, and he denied it. So she requested a hearing. I don't know if you know a lot about restraining orders, but I mean, typically, the way they're supposed to be used is that they're supposed to protect someone from harm, immediate threat, immediate possibility of danger, right? So judges take this stuff really, really seriously. Like, if somebody's life is in danger, they need to, like, make a decision about whether or not somebody gets to stay safe or not. So, generally speaking, they usually grant them, because the large majority of them are for, you know, imminent danger types of situations, mm-hmm. where, you know, a victim of domestic violence thinks that somebody is going to hurt her. Mm-hmm. And if the judge doesn't grant it, he knows that there's a possibility that the person requesting it could end up dead,
yeah.
you know, or severely injured. So they typically, on the face of the information given, like, this person has done these things, and if they have a history of doing those things to that person in particular, the proximity of that person to be able to do the harm, all of those things are taken into account. And then the judge will usually, like I said, grant the restraining order, even sometimes in cases where, you know, like, the clear and imminent threat isn't necessarily there, but the potential exists. Mm. Like, you know, for example, somebody that has a violent criminal history with that particular person, and although they might not be known to be in the vicinity at that time, the fact that they've committed various, you know, assaults on that person could weigh into the judge being like, okay, well, yeah, but this person is the type of person that will go to great lengths to hurt this mm-hmm. other individual, so we're going to do this. In this particular case, I've never had contact with Karen other than the one that she forced today in court.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can honestly say I hope to never have contact with Karen again. So
yeah.
So that you know, that was something she forced and created. And she not only came herself, she brought her mom that threatened me. What was her name? Klebe?
Yes.
What was her other name? Something?
Yeah. Klebe? I'm so terrible at names.
I can't remember.
Sorry, I can't bring it up. Sorry about that.
But she said in court that one of her relatives asked me to take down the post, and I declined. That's not what happened. I showed you what happened. She threatened to sue me.
Yes.
She said, you are going to be sued for slander. And apparently this is slander, the lawsuit, part two.
Yeah.
And she put her kids on the restraining order request, which, of course, again, was denied. This was the second denial. This was the second denial of her requesting because she thought that requesting a hearing meant that she was going to be able to rehash everything that she was already denied for in this request, and that suddenly this new judge would go, oh, sorry, Karen, we didn't hear you right the first time. You can have this bogus restraining order. But that's not how it works, you know? So she came in there and she brought her kids, her three little kids that she put on this restraining order because she wanted to weaponize her children. My children! And you know, I was like...
In the middle of court, too. Like, in the middle of her giving her statement, the kids just suddenly come in all loud and small and stuff. And the judge actually stopped her and said, wait, wait, wait. There are no children allowed in the courtroom. And she was like, those are my children. And he was like, that may be, but they are still not allowed in the courtroom. And he looked so like, how dare you? And then he said, stopped again and said, you may not be aware of this because you weren't here, but we're recording right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Because she showed up late for her own hearing. She had the audacity to take us to court over something she'd already been told, no, can't do this, Karen. And she went ahead and did it. And then she decided to show up late, which is, it's rude to everyone. Not that Karen probably cares about being rude since she doesn't mind acting like a Nazi.
It's in character for her.
But she literally shows up late and then had all of these, like, you know, she really wanted to, like, drama it up because they asked her, you know, what do you have to offer? And, you know, she could have read it right from where she was sitting. There was a microphone there. He said, you know, you can just read it from there unless you want to sit in the witness stand. She says, I'll sit in the witness stand. So she gets up and she goes and sits in the witness stand. And then she did the dramatic reading.
Oh.
Yes. She read from this statement that she gave. Yesterday, on Thursday, June 21st, I was attacked by a woman named Cindy Gomez-Shemp on a post that I had shared to Facebook regarding both the upcoming Fargo rally in which our president will be attending on June 27th and our border security issues currently being discussed by many people in the country. Her tone became violent, so I blocked her on Facebook. I removed the posts due to the violent nature of her language. None of that happened, actually. I don't know how. I don't think she read this whole thing, but she read the second. I think she read the second part where she said, a few hours later, I received a message that my location, a picture of my face, and my full name were being shared on Ms. Gomez-Shemp's personal Facebook page as well as on her business page. I think that's where she stopped.
Okay.
What about the thing about her, the relative that
She just said that she had one of her relatives, which was her mom, Linda, wasn't it?
Linda Kleeb, yes.
The emergency dispatch number, the operator.
No, I don't think she read that part. I don't think she read all of this, did she?
Well, one of them advised her to get a restraining order.
And yes, she said
that. She emphasized how they advised her to get a restraining order against you. They could see what you were doing to her family.
No, you know, this is what my attorney told me about what law enforcement typically does with entitled white ladies who have their fifis hurt and get the vapors. They're like, there's nothing we can do. And then if they continue going, but I have the vapors. I must put the Mexican in jail. I do declare. Then they go, you know what? Why don't you go and put some money in the courthouse and pay somebody above my pay grade to tell you, Karen, no. Because apparently you don't want to hear it from the officers. You know how white people that are racist are. Mm-hmm. They think they own the officers. I mean, of course, they call them like it's Domino's Pizza. Hello? Hello? Can you go and arrest the Mexican that just called me a Nazi, please? But if they don't get their way, have you seen an angry white person take on the cops? Like, they will yell at them. They will curse at them. They will be like, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. So they probably didn't want to deal with this woman. It's very likely that they were like, yes, mosey along, Karen.
Not just very likely. It's assured when she talked about the cop friends that were going to come and support her. Did they come?
Nope.
No.
She's like, they were going to be here. The officer told me that they were going to... She said, the officer said there was going to be a report that was going to be put into the evidence, a new report.
A new report.
But I checked as of, you know, when we came into the courtroom, it wasn't there. And also, she literally had the dog ate my homework. Because he's like, lady, all the stuff that you just said is the same stuff that the other judge said no to. I asked you, what do you have that is new? And she's like, well, there was supposed to be this thing, but it's not here. And he's like, so... And then she said, well, the cop said he was going to come here.
I left a voice message and everything.
Yeah, she said she called him several times last night.
Wow. The night before.
Yup. She's like, hello, hello, hello. It's not coming in 30 minutes or less. Where's my pizza?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she got stood up by the Moorhead Police Department. They were like, no shows at her pity party. And she wanted the judge to consider that. Like, look, judge, I know that the cops aren't here to tell you that I'm right and you should give me a restraining order. But if they were here, can you imagine what they would say in support of me and add that as the new evidence? Because that's all I got. And the judge was like, he literally addressed this craziness. He took the time.
Two whole minutes, maybe really? More.
Wow.
Trying to like slowly, well, you see, you're telling me that you have new information, but if I call the officer, which you say can't come here, he will tell me the same thing you told the last judge, but just in more detail. It's a picture of a dog, Karen. It's just a picture of a dog that you gave whiskers and like fur like lines. It's still the same picture. It's still a dog.
Yeah. It's the same thing. And so he was just looking at her perplexed, like, and I'm like thinking to myself, it's the supremacy. It's all over her. She's like, she lives inside of the bubble of supremacy, and she doesn't understand that the English words you're speaking about the law apply to her royalness.
I know.
To her highness.
Well, I thought the same thing when I saw her walking in late and then just sitting down, and the judge said that Cindy Gomez-Shem is being represented by an attorney. And he said, you can take this under consideration and you can get into a continuous if you want to have an attorney present. And she said, nope, I'll go without an attorney. And I thought, wow, you came in late and you're just not, you're waiving your, you know, opportunity to have an attorney, and you're just going to try this case all by yourself, you know. So I was seeing that immediately when I saw her. I thought, wow, what arrogance that she's just waltzing in. And then I had to miss the rest. So hearing this, it just confirms that sort of a racist Poor supremacist dude. Behavior.
I have to read this one part of what she said, because, I mean, as I said, restraining orders are meant for situations of real bodily, you know, harm or threat to your life. And judges take this stuff really, really seriously. And by the way, there are still women out there. Sometimes this applies to men as well. I know that the majority of the victims of domestic abuse, murder, rape, all that, are women. So I'm just going to speak to that. There are a lot of women out there that go without protection, that don't have, that are not granted the protection that they deserve. This woman is taking up the court's time and the police's time for this nonsense.
Yeah.
to try to censor our station, calling out what she is doing, which was supporting the president's policy to put children in cages and separate them from their parents. And she had the audacity to double down on her racism today in the courtroom and try to, well, she did, offer into evidence, in addition, which was again declined today for the second time, her request to be heard about how Mexicans and Central Americans, the people coming across the border, are MS-13 and sex traffickers. That's what she was submitting in the documentation. I was just like, my lawyer is like, wait a minute. What is this? What sex trafficking? What MS-13? What is any of, he's like, whatever. Just here, judge. Can we just move this along? He was like, do I have to say anything? And the judge is like, no, not really. This is all a bunch of BS. And he's like, no, Karen. Bye, Karen. And then she was just like, wait. I didn't win? What happened? She just looks so bewildered.
Wow.
Oh, she got up to give the evidence to the judge, and like an officer got up and started waving her away, like, get away from him, white lady. Don't claw out his eyes now.
Yeah, like she started getting up to go over, and the bailiff deputy that was in the courtroom, who's, by the way, they were like, did you notice they were wearing like their full like bulletproof vest gear in the courtroom? I was like, dang, dangerous up in here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, like he walked right up to her. He's like, no. And I'm like, yes, keep Karen away from all of us. Thank you. I saw her walking in my direction. I'm like, no.
She was so confused. Like, what? He's coming to me, not her? Like, what's happening?
Oh, man.
Like, yes, you're a threat here, Karen.
Yes. Anyway, let me read to you what she said. She said, I am genuinely and deeply concerned for my safety. I'm feeling frightened, threatened, intimidated because of her actions.
Clutch your pearls.
She is stalking and harassing me and making me feel unsafe in my own community and my home. I have never voiced any support for the ethnic cleansing of any people. Many people in my life characterize me as a caring and compassionate person. I am a mother, and I care deeply for the well-being of all children. I was saddened by the news coverage on the separation of families entering the country from the Mexican border, which is why I was discussing the issue in the first place, while also discussing the executive order that the president signed this week.
Bull. Bull. I'm surprised her nose didn't puncture the paper.
Yep. Just...
She is making false, unsubstantiated claims that I am a white supremacist and a Nazi when I have no affiliation to those groups and have never voiced or supported those sentiments. Yes, you have.
Continue to do so.
She associates my support for our current president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. She said that on the stand.
Really? Donald J. Trump.
She started off her testimony by saying, I support our president, Donald J. Trump. I think she might have the Trump Tourette's.
Wow.
Yeah. She's got the Trump Tourette's. It's sad. It's sad when you know you see it on someone and you're like, damn,
poor.
There's no cure for that. Yeah, like they don't have a. I'm hoping that
it's a choice. I mean, it's a choice.
I'm hoping that people calling these folks out might wake them up. Mm-hmm. Like, do you not see
Nazi?
Do you not see Nazi? The consequences of your behavior in this community? Do you not see how people look at you? How people feel about your actions? Why would you even take your kids and show your little kids your nonsense? Aren't you ashamed? You were literally shunned out of the courtroom and told, no, go. Twice you were told, go. And you still wanted to bring your kids and show them your racism. like expose them at that very, very young age. I'm going to weaponize these little kids and bring them into the courtroom. I was waiting for her to start crying.
I know. When she was on the stand, everyone in the car, when we were going back home, were like, was it just me or did it sound like she was going to start openly weeping at the stand? I'm like, yeah, she had that. You know, when your voice is like this, any second you're just going to break because you've been through so much and my pity fodder just got kicked out, so I have nothing left. This is it. I was waiting for her to cry.
Yeah, like Barbecue Becky, remember when she got, when the cop finally showed up and she was just like, and the cop was just standing there looking at her like, that's pretty much how the courtroom felt for her. Like the judge wasn't having it, the bailiff wasn't having it.
He was on his, the judge was on his last leg already. It did look ready to snap. She wasn't helping.
He was such, I have to say though, that guy was patient. Yeah. He was very patient.
He tried.
Because he kept just looking at her like, do you not speak English? Are you being obtuse or are you just, like he was like, I'm not going to get mad at you because I think you're really stupid.
Yeah.
But you're testing me. You're testing me right now. Like he was like
it was that. It was his only second case of the day too. I mean, the day had just started.
He did so many double takes. He's like, so I'm not going to grant your request again, Karen. Karen. And he just looked at her and goes, I'm not going to grant your request again. And then she said, can I put this stuff into evidence? And he looked at her. Okay, fine. He's like, I don't care. Go ahead. I've already denied your request.
Wow.
She was like, I still want to do a thing that doesn't have any meaning.
He's just like, make it an exhibit. Get out.
Yes. And then the bailiff walks a copy of it over to my lawyer. And he just looks at it and goes, What is this? What does this have to... I don't care. Just go ahead. Get it out of here.
Yeah,
I don't think this has anything to do with the case. An article on MS-13 and theft trafficking. What's happening here?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's okay. Kangaroo court.
It is. Okay. So then she goes on to say it here. She is publicly defaming my character on social media platforms with no evidence to support her claims. I feel that, in fact, her actions against me are based on and due to my race and people of European heritage. She has even shared an article that she wrote addressing all Caucasian people called An Open Letter to White People on the Eve of Their Wake-Up Call. See attached. In which she calls for internet shaming of people and doxing, which entails the sharing of personal identifying information of the people that they disagree with. This is a dangerous action that can put people in real danger of violence. This article by Ms. Gomez Shemp shows that she wishes to cause damage to individuals who don't agree with her political perspective. I wish to proceed with criminal charges against Ms. Gomez Shemp to the fullest extent of the law.
Like, really? Really?
Yeah.
Political. It's your political. Because not wanting to get murdered and have your children taken from you is a political stance.
Yeah.
Wow. I have so many political stances. I don't think we should kill people on the streets. That's... I don't know what... Which, am I Republican or Democrat? What does that make me?
A human.
Mm-hmm.
A human.
Yeah, I did find that slide about Linda Klebe.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she said. Linda Klebe. She did not request, she said, remove this post as you will be contacted by our attorney because of your slander against Karen Stensgaard. She didn't say, would you please remove this post? Mm-hmm. And then I responded, oh, no. F you, or that's not what happened. She told me, I'm going to contact, this is already happening. You're going to be sued for slander, and you're going to have to remove this post because you're slandering me. And I actually did respond to her. I said something. I said, the affirmative defense to slander and defamation is telling the truth.
Exactly.
I just used Karen's own words and the other words of people telling her she was a Nazi. I was not the originator of the idea. I simply shared the story on our station and told you all what all of her friends that were fighting with her were saying to her, which was, among other things, that she's a white supremacist and that she's a Nazi, and that they were disgusted to have ever been friends with her, ever have claimed her as a friend, that they didn't know what happened to her, but she was not the person that they thought she was, and many other things. That's what she got angry about. She wasn't angry at them for saying those things to her. She was angry that I told people that this woman was being publicly shamed on social media, and I made it a larger story in our community, like all of the other media is doing right now.
Exactly.
That are covering stories about racists calling the cops. Racists calling the cops on black people.
Mm-hmm.
Racists being outed as being racist or shamed publicly. Like everybody in Trump's administration so far.
Mm-hmm.
Like who's left? Stephen Miller's gotten shamed publicly. Kirstjen Nielsen. Kirstjen.
Yep.
And Stephen Miller and Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yep,
and
definitely.
Like, who's left? Everyone is being called out for their racism because people are kind of drawing a line in the sand with this Holocaust 2018 that is being carried out. Did you learn the latest news, which is that the Department of Homeland Security has confirmed that Border Patrol has deliberately destroyed thousands and thousands of documents that connected the identity of parents and children that came across the border and were taken into custody by Border Patrol. They destroyed the information so that the kids cannot be connected back together again unless they take their DNA.
That's right.
Unless, against their will, against anybody's permission, they take these children's DNA. And, oops. We may not, they're still going to not be able to reunite these kids.
Exactly.
And like they've done to other kids, they're going to give them to white people.
And you did mention in that article that it said that they deliberately destroyed these records. It wasn't like they got lost or whatever. They did it on purpose, intentionally.
Right. So what is it that people don't understand about the intentionality of what they're doing to these kids now? About of how the government is building these giant concentration camps on military bases. This is a Holocaust, people. We're deep, deep into it. And Nazi sympathizers and, Holocaust deniers and people that are so brazenly racist and rabidly hateful against children, against parents and children that haven't done anything other than to cross an artificial barrier, right? It's disturbing.
It terrifies me that this woman has three kids we didn't want to know about, but we're forced to learn about in all the ways. We even got to meet the little suckers. Yay for us. But this woman has children, and yet she can look at thousands of mothers being torn from their families, torn from babies, children, tiny babies. And she's like, no, that's right. That looks about right. I like it. Like, how can you trust that woman with kids? How
she literally used the word celebrate. Why can't you all celebrate? She's saying these things. Hmm. She's saying this to a Mexican woman. Janessa is a Mexican woman, by the way, who was taken forcibly from her brown parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was taken from her parent, and that is never healed. There are people that are grown up that have had that done to them that are still broken inside. Do you know what that does to people forever? And this woman was telling Karen that she was a racist, that she was a white supremacist, that she was supporting lies and propaganda that were dehumanizing her as a person. And Karen was like, can't we all celebrate this?
That woman shouldn't be trusted with children.
I am not a racist,
mm-hmm.
she said. And then she was like using her kids in her little campaign. I mean, like this.
She's the kind of mom who kicks out her kid at 18 at 18, and then she doesn't want to see him again until, like, you know, holidays where they don't talk about politics.
I don't know. It was just, it was weird to see a grown woman using her kids to try to gain sympathy. She's been harassing the station and harassing a family, you know, mostly comprised, except for you, of people of color. And just because you're white doesn't mean that it's not, you know, any less of a threat to your safety and your comfort.
Yep, exactly. And she was saying that Sidney Govan-Shemp hates all Caucasians. And I'm like, hello, I'm her husband.
She can't be racist. She has a white husband, guys. Look at him. Look at that beautiful, perfectly white face.
That's not why I can't be racist. I can't be racist because I'm not a person in privilege and power in a country controlled by white supremacy. Yeah, exactly. I don't have the ability to anything that I do or say. You know, these things affect all people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Even the immigration policies, and I'm a citizen, they still affect me because of racism and white supremacy and the way that that's an institutionalized, you know, thing. These are laws, after all, that they're carrying out against us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But slavery was legal.
Yep.
Anti-miscegenation laws were legal.
Mm-hmm.
Owning women was legal. Like...
owning people was legal.
Owning people was legal.
Murdering people is legal now.
It's still legal, yeah. But, you know, these are the things that you have to stand up against if you have a conscience. So I wanted to share with you what happened afterwards, too. Mm-hmm. The hearing itself was, like I said, very short.
Yep.
I literally didn't say any words. I just sat there and watched this whole thing unfold before me and
losing money every minute.
Watched the judge, watched his expressions. I think I did take some notes.
You did. I saw you writing.
I was writing because I wanted to be able to report accurately what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I blocked Cindy. My mother called. And I was sitting there listening going, it's too bad that there's no follow-up questions that nobody can ask. You know, like, nobody wanted this to be any longer than it needed to be.
Yes.
But, you know, having wasted the court's time, I felt like the judge should have asked her, like, you allege here in your court filings that Cindy stalked you, that she threatened you, and she made you feel unsafe in your own home. How did she do that?
Yeah.
Because I don't even know where she lives. And I have never met her, never seen her, except for this visit she forced in the courtroom. But no, nobody asked her about any of that. And she said that she was told by the police to file a restraining order. So if I told her to take a long walk off a short pier, would she just go into it?
Yep.
Like, oh, they told... I'm not racist all on my own. I had to be told to be a racist.
She had help.
Yes. Like, the cops agree with me that I should come and file this bogus restraining order for no apparent reason. No, Karen, this is all on you. You have to take responsibility for your own racist actions. She's like that permit Patty. She's like, I pretend called the cops. I wasn't really calling the cops on an 8-year-old black girl for selling water. I pretended to call the cops. You know, but, you know, it turned out she lied about that. She lied even. She still tried to create an excuse where she doesn't look like a racist monster trying to murder a person of color. Because white people know if y'all are calling the cops on people of color, you're requesting an order up murder, right?
Yep.
Exactly. Or harassment.
Yeah.
Or a beating, you know, because the cops can't show up and charge you or do anything to you, but they can walk up to you and go, what's that in your hand? Stop resisting.
Exactly.
Or, you know, get upset that you're talking to them the wrong way, and then you can end up dead like Sandra Bland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fun little acts of terrorism, just, you know.
Yeah, random acts of, oops, I had to arrest them for some reason. So, thanks, but no thanks. And she said that she had requested that there would be some kind of incident report that would be had been enacted into the system, or that, but it had not been enacted into the system at this time, and that she's not seeing anything. The judge said that she was not saying anything that wasn't in her original application. Then she said, "Well, the new paper from the police thing is going to be the thing that's new, and I tried to get it yesterday." And the incident report that the officer reviewed was not available, and he was not available.
Wow.
Not available for a waste of time and a lot of money.
Now I was taking notes about what the judge said. He said, every judge that reviews and makes a decision on this, he mm-hmm. said, takes this request very seriously. Like, the guy that was already here, that already read all of this mm-hmm. and heard all your nonsense before, that guy wasn't like the lesser judge, you know, like the custodian part-time judge that, like,
yep.
doesn't really know the law, that, you know, that read the Law for Dummies and just stands in when we don't have enough judges. And then, you know, you have to pay the extra money to see the real judge, me. No, he was like, the other guy was a real judge.
Mm-hmm.
And judges, they take this stuff and they already looked at it and they said, no.
Yep.
And they take this very seriously. So I'm not going to overturn what this other judge already said, which is no,
mm-hmm.
unless there's a really important new piece of information that judge didn't have that compels me to grant this order somehow. And you're not giving it to me.
Well, yep.
So, but he said, then he says, like, this is what judges do. And then he goes, what we do not do is reconsider what the other judge did.
Yeah.
We don't do that here. Okay, Karen? Just so you know.
Not an appeal.
Right. He walked her through all of the stuff about the incident report. And because then she was like, but the cop was going to come, but he's not here. But he was going to say some good stuff. And he's like, yeah, but if he was here, he's like, okay, Karen, let's go to the Imaginarium. Let's say Officer Van Dyke is here right now. Wouldn't he essentially say the stuff that you're saying he already said in this paper? She's like, yeah. He's like, okay, well, that would be the same stuff, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
But a cop said it, so it's different.
Yes. Okay, so now I have to tell you what happened afterwards.
Funner times.
We went outside. We were doing the live stream. We had a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Then they told us that there was an order that we needed to pick up, right?
Yeah.
They said they had to prepare it. We went to request it and they said, it's not ready. You're going to have to wait. We'll bring it out to you when it's ready. So we went outside to have a cigarette while we waited, and I did the live stream that we shared earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went back inside, or well, actually Duke went back inside to grab the order, and they said, oh, we thought you left, so we sent it to the sheriff's office so that you could be served.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
What, be served again? We're here, you know? And I said, really? I said, well, I'm going to go over there right now and pick it up then. And she said, okay.
So then, did you show our picture at the courthouse? This is us at the courthouse. This is before we went in.
Look how God, nice they look.
We look so tiny. Can you make us bigger?
It's good to look tiny. Let's see.
It looks tiny to me. That's a little bit better. There we are. That's my no-nonsense face.
Yep. About to go into court face.
Yeah, this is Mike. We spent nearly $1,000 for this face.
Yeah, really. Uh-huh.
Oh, it makes me sad every time we say the number.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, it pains me because what we could have been doing with that money is station work.
Yeah, funding the station. Geez.
Taking care of the station, doing our broadcasting. And I do hope to raise enough cash to be able to sue the police department for ongoing harassment if this kind of thing continues.
Exactly.
Because it's just, I don't care whether they're doing it for Karen or they're doing it for some other person that's persecuting us. That shouldn't be happening, and they shouldn't be a part of it. Whether they're just doing their job because somebody called them, they need to be aware. Like, hey, isn't this the like 20 some time that we've come to this place? This radio station.
Plus, there's Karen trying to get an officer into the courtroom to continue the further harassment.
Yeah,
the case was already, the judge already said that this harassment restraining order is not granted, and now it's dismissed. She's probably thinking that she's still got a case.
Right,
I'm sure she thinks that.
She's like, she's still like, I called him. I called him a bunch of times last night and he didn't answer. He's not, I don't know why he's not here.
And not everyone has $1,000 to spend on every racist who decides that you hurt my feelings. It's time to pay. They want their slab of flesh.
And I didn't have that money either. If your donations hadn't come in a time, I want to thank you guys for supporting us for, helping us stand up to this bully, this local bully, this local racist, and to send a message that we did send very clearly today, which is you can't bring these kinds of actions and expect for this court to grant them. In the future, especially given the outcome of this case against us already, the next person is going to have a very, probably a very harsh reminder from that judge that, this is not what you use the court for. And hopefully he doesn't have to give another educational sermon on what the court is for and what the judges do.
Exactly. And I'd like to thank all the people who donated too, because, you know, like Cindy said, that, you know, we're very, very low income. You know, we run everything with a very shoestring budget. And to defend yourselves in court over this BS, you came through and gave us enough money to cover this. And it's still on our page because this is going to be more. It's on kpppfm.com/donate. And it's tax-deductible contribution, but you've saved us in that. And we really, really, really appreciate your support.
One thing that the judge said that was kind of chilling was that, because my attorney did say that this whole thing was kind of a ridiculous thing, that we would have to pay this additional $300 filing just to be heard in the court, just to be able to sit in the same courtroom across from the person accusing us and have an opportunity to have a say in the outcome. Which, in addition to the $500 he charged us, is $800, right? Pretty much. So, I mean, that's an exorbitant amount of money for you to have to, shell out for this outcome. This is the second one. The first one that we were served with, and of course the sheriff's office was coming over here to serve us with a notice that a judge had denied this woman's original petition. This is what the sheriffs were coming to my house three times to give me a packet to tell me, you couldn't have mailed that? No, because they pay the sheriff to personally serve you with the notification. Look, a judge said you didn't do anything wrong and the Karen can't have her restraining order. So what were we given today? As a result of going to court, we were given these two papers. That's it. These two papers you can see right there. It's just two. They had to take this all the way over to the courthouse. The person that took those papers over to the courthouse to have the sheriff drive them over to my house again and knock on my door and serve them to me probably walked right past us when she left and saw us, that we were standing outside, and went, send these papers over to the sheriff's office so they can serve them on her. So this is what they gave us, which is an order, again denying Karen's request.
Yep, it's actually dismissed.
It's dismissed now.
Yep.
Yep, it says, order denying harassment restraining order after hearing dated July 2018. And it says, in the case of Karen Stensgaard on behalf of her minor children, the petitioners, versus Cindy Gomez-Shemp, the judge has ordered that he denies her harassment request restraining order. And the matter is ordered. It is ordered. And this matter is dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
It is dismissed. So you burnt.
Yep.
You're done. So I wanted to show you, Lizzie actually videotaped this, when we went in to go get that paper.
Yep.
Across the street from the courthouse. We literally had to cross the street. The sheriff's department is right across the street.
So many flavors of white men.
Office. I'll be up here for that. So do you have an ID on you or anything like that?
Yes.
Your name? And you kind of know what this is about?
Yeah, we were just at the courthouse.
Okay, sounds good.
We were gonna pick up the paper there, but yeah, we went outside for a second to smoke a cigarette. When we came back in, they're like, we sent it over to the sheriff's department. We're like, okay. I guess I decided to wear high heels on the right day.
So yes, you did.
Walk around a little bit longer.
There's your order there, and everything should be self-explanatory.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
So many flavors of white men.
Did you see those pictures? They were crazy.
Must be all
like
the past sheriffs.
In a fur coat, smoking a cigar. Like,
I was like, are these like mob bosses' pictures?
I didn't take time to gander.
Well, you know, slow down that video and watch it again real slow. And
they had those old mustaches that were like way too bushy.
Yeah, like
one was holding a pitchfork, I think, or I had like two prongs. And I was like,
a pitchfork.
The hell? Wow. Yeah, like I was like, what is this? I felt like I'd walked into the past, you know, like
the Hall of Fame.
I think those were all the sheriffs.
I was expecting, you know, like Roscoe Pico train to come out from behind.
That's right.
Anyway, we made it out of there. And that's it. That's all I got for you, folks.
Get a van video.
Oh!
Dun, dun. Wait,
that's
no.
Right. There's a 2-second video that I did of her vehicle right behind Elizabeth. That was right after the walk of shame out of the courthouse for her and into her vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't film any of her or her kids or family because, of course, you know, that would be harassment even though we're in a public space, you know.
Public courthouse, public parking lot.
But this was her minivan.
She said, I'm presenting new evidence.
That was it right there.
She said, I'm presenting new evidence.
That golden van in the back.
She said, I'm presenting new evidence.
Then a white car comes right in front.
Yep.
And she did the slow pull away.
Mm-hmm.
We walked.
I thought she was going to.
Before you live streamed, you actually walked right past her.
I walked right in front of her vehicle.
I was so scared she was just going to like drive into you. I was like, I have to block it so that.
I think she's reminded she's in a courthouse parking lot. You know, watch your behavior. We're on camera.
I think fights in front of the courthouse are more. They happen. I think they happen at least.
Well, I'm happy to say our ordeal in the court for today is over, and we won.
Yay.
Again.
Yay.
And thankfully, the sheriff's office didn't have to come and serve us because we were right across the street, so we paid them a visit. And guess what, folks? Just to celebrate, I have I thought of we were singing like little anthems on the way home, thinking mm-hmm. of like, you mm-hmm. know, what are we going to play for this show?
Exactly.
I will let you pick this song.
Yeah,
but we're going to bring you something special in a little bit if Duke can
hook up
rig it up for us.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we would do some celebration karaoke.
Oh yeah,
and woo-hoo. Bring you in on the it'll be like a little. Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate good time.
Come on.
It's a celebration.
So catch us later while we celebrate our win.
Mm-hmm.
We won, folks.
We won.
Freedom of speech and expression and all that.
Yep.
And we're going to be bringing you some more freedom of expression in a little while. Thanks for being with us. Bye.